Thank you for that special. Please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you don't know, we're actually doing a study through the book of Acts, but as we come to the place where we understand that one of the letters was written to the churches, we've tried to step into that book and do a survey of it. We're trying to move kind of quickly. Sometimes we needed to slow down a little bit. But we find ourselves in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So the Apostle Paul has moved on from where he was and is now in Ephesus writing back to Corinth. He's had some correspondence with them already, and we know of at least one other letter that was written before this. So this 1 Corinthians is actually at least 2 Corinthians, but not every letter that was ever written during that time made it into the scriptures. And there's a lot of reasons for that. You can study deeper into that. But what we do know is what we have is preserved for us the Word of God. And all scripture is given by inspiration. All scripture is God-breathed. And it's profitable for us. So we want to study the whole thing. And I'm glad that you're here and that we get together around the Word today. This morning, we're going to begin chapter 12 and work through part of it. Lord willing, this evening, we'll continue on through chapter 12. But today, this morning, we're going to learn about things concerning spiritual gifts or the spiritual things. And God wants us to have an understanding of the things concerning the Spirit of God. Growing up in church, we didn't learn a lot about the Holy Spirit. I didn't growing up. Didn't learn a lot about the Holy Spirit. And I think that what happens so many times is there are some groups that may be teaching some things that aren't right about the Holy Spirit, and they've kind of gotten off in the ditch into some error over here. And in order to separate ourselves from some error about the Holy Spirit, we've gone over here and completely abandoned the Holy Spirit. And so we don't want to do that. We want to know about the Holy Spirit of God. We don't want to be ignorant of the Spirit of God, because here's the truth. You can't be born again unless the Spirit of God works in you. Amen. He's going to use the gospel to draw you to salvation. The Spirit of God is going to use the gospel to bring conviction of sin, to bring the knowledge of sin, to give an understanding and an enlightening of the gospel. Unless the Spirit of God works in you, you can't be born again. And after you're born again, you cannot live the Christian life on your own. You cannot walk with Jesus without the power of the Spirit in your life. You just, listen, not that it would be really hard. No, you absolutely can't do it without the Spirit of God working in you. And so we don't want to forget about the Holy Spirit. We want to live in the Spirit. We want to walk in the Spirit. We want to pray in the Spirit and live out this Christian life in the Spirit. And then the Spirit not only works in us individually, but the Spirit of God works in us corporately as a body of Christ. He enables and empowers and equips every believer to have their part in the body. And the Spirit of God helps us, gifts us, enables us so that we can all work together to build up the body of Christ, which is His church. Amen? So you guys excited about it now? Because your faces don't look excited at all. Hey, listen, I just got back from teen camp, and I'm sure some of you had a rough week too, but I don't know that you got any more excuse to be tired than I do. Somebody feel sorry for me and say amen. Come on. Hey, listen, I know you're tired. I know you've had a lot going on this week. We're all busy, probably too busy. But what a joy to get to come together around the Word of God today. And man, I'm excited. We've had a great week of camp, some great worship, and like I said, preaching is encouraging and challenging, uplifting. So let's let the Spirit of God revive us now. Amen. All right. So let's read. Let's pray together, and then we're going to pick up here at verse 1. But for right now, let's pray together. Father in heaven, as we come before your throne of grace again today, Lord, I'm thankful for the joy that we have to come together around the Word of God today, to fellowship together in Christ. Father, I thank you for this day that you've blessed us with. And we pray for our brothers and sisters who are not able to be here. We pray that you'll watch over them and bring them back next time we come together. Lord, we thank you for those who are gathered, that you'll help us, that we have focused on Jesus today, that we have lifted up the name of Christ in our singing, and that he has been magnified in our hearts today already. Lord, I pray that you'll bless the preaching of your word now, that you'll help me, that you'll guide us into all truth by your Spirit, who is our comforter, our teacher, and our guide. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to rightly divide the word of truth today. Give us an understanding of the things concerning the Spirit, that we might know how you've gifted us, and that we might, by your grace, develop those gifts and use them in your service to edify the body of Christ, to build up the church for your glory. Lord, please help us. Forgive our sins, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. First of all, today we're going to see the Spirit is the one who teaches us who Jesus is. Now, he's telling these Corinthian believers, a lot of them were Gentiles, and he's talking specifically to them that as Gentiles, they were carried away to idols. They were carried away. And the phrase carried away is interesting because it seems when we look at the history and what was going on at Corinth and their pagan worship, that the people there were seeking a couple of different things. And historians call them a couple of things. The first one is ecstasy. And the second thing is they would call enthusiasm. Now, ecstasy was something that the pagans would seek to have some kind of communion with their many gods. And in order to do that, they would do really stupid things. So they would go to their pagan temples, and to try to reach ecstasy, what they would do is they would drink a bunch of wine, but their wine wasn't strong enough to get them drunk, so they would go and make themselves throw up the wine, and then they would go drink more wine, and they would drink so much, all that they could, until they couldn't drink anymore. They would go make themselves throw up, and then they would do it again until they got drunk, and they would try to reach this level of ecstasy, and in their drunken stupors, they would try to have some kind of communion with their gods. Sound like fun? So in the temples, they actually have troughs that were there to carry all the vomit away. They had gutters in the temple for the purpose. Isn't that gross? Can you imagine that today? Like we got just some gutters in the side of the sanctuary to carry all the vomit away? Yeah. Good morning. You guys all had breakfast, right? About to see somebody's breakfast? Okay. Listen, their goal was to reach this place where they lost their own thinking and they thought that they were getting closer to the gods. They would do that through their drugs and their alcohol. And you know what? It's not really any different today. A lot of people right here in Sequoia County live every week just so that they can go and get themselves inebriated on the weekends, and that's what they live for. Amen. They may not be doing it to worship a false god, but they are doing it to worship themselves, which is their own god. Their substance has become their god. Amen. It really is an idol to them. Amen. So they would try to have communion with their gods through alcohol and through drugs. And then they would try to reach something they would call enthusiasm, which would be some kind of visions or divinations that they were getting some kind of message from their gods. And one of the ways that they would do that is they would take a phrase and they begin to repeat it over and over and over and over and over. You guys with me? I'd like to stop saying it. They would get this phrase and they would repeat it until they just got themselves worked up into a frenzy, and they would jump around and they would keep saying it and keep saying it and keep saying it until it just became a jumble of words, and they began to babble nonsense, and then they would say that nonsense that they were babbling was this message from their gods. That might sound familiar to some of you too. You see, there's nothing new under the sun. And there are people today who gather and they take phrases and they repeat them over and over and over, and they work themselves up into an emotional frenzy and they jump around and they say a bunch of babbling, and then they say that comes from God. I know some of you don't like that, but I'm just trying to tell you the truth today that that Satan is always going to use things to try to lead people astray, even well-meaning people, even people who have sincerity. But what we want to know is what the Bible says. Amen. And we want to understand today that the Word of God is the truth. So they had this going on, and he's saying, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual things, because you know that you were Gentiles and you were carried away unto dumb idols. They were carried away in their ecstasy. They were carried away in their enthusiasms to dumb idols. And I just love the Bible. You know what idols are? They're dumb. Say it with me. What are idols? Dumb. What does that mean? They're stupid? Well, yes, it does mean that. But what it means is they had no ability. They had no thinking ability. And Isaiah teaches us about that, right? Isaiah says a man goes out into the forest and he cuts down a tree. And with that tree, he takes part of that wood and he takes it to a man and he sculpts it, he carves it into a god. And with the other part of the tree, he chops it up into firewood and cooks his food and warms his house with it. And then he brings his little idol back into his house that he cut up and made into firewood, the rest of the tree, and he bows down and worships that dumb idol. It has eyes, but it can't see. It has a mouth, but it can't say anything. It has ears, but it can't hear. It's dumb. And by the way, loving, serving, valuing, fearing anything other than God is an idol, and that's dumb.
Amen.
It's dumb. Amen. And we all know you don't have to have some statue to worship to have an idol. You can make anything your idol.
Amen.
I think if we're honest, American Christians have lots of idols.
Amen.
I think that some Christians worship their money. I think some Christians worship their possessions. Some Christians worship their hobbies. Some Christians worship their hobbies. Come on.
Amen.
It's an idol. You love it more than you love Jesus.
Amen.
You serve it. You're dedicated more to that hobby or that sport or whatever it is more than Christ.
Amen.
Some of us worship our families. We've made our families our idols. We've elevated our loved ones above Christ. That's idolatry. Hey, loving your family more than you love Jesus isn't helping your family. Love Jesus first and he'll pick them up. He'll lift them up higher than you ever could. But I think if we're all really honest today, we all have really our greatest idol we all share in common, and that's ourselves. We rarely love anything or anyone more than we love ourselves. And what God calls us to do is to die to ourselves, to be crucified with Christ and live our lives in Christ and in faith in the one who died for us and rose again. So they were carried away to these dumb idols as they were led. And he says, I give you in verse 3 to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, remember, Paul's been answering some questions, and we're trying to figure out what the questions were, but it's interesting to me that he says, I want you to understand this, that nobody speaking by the Spirit of God would curse the name of Jesus. And no man could say who Jesus really is, that he is Lord of all, unless that's by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, why would he say that? Is he just making a general statement? He could be, but I think this. I think some of the people who were getting worked up in their ecstasy and their enthusiasm weren't speaking by the Spirit of God, but they were speaking by another spirit, and the things that they were saying, maybe even in another language that other people couldn't understand, were actually to curse Jesus. One of the reasons that I say that is I've actually heard testimony of that within the last 100 years. I read about a man who was in a service, and in that service, the people began to get really worked up emotionally, and somebody began to speak out in another language that no one else could understand, but this man could. They were speaking in a native language from Africa where he was from, and whoever was speaking in that other language was actually cursing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he stood up and he stopped them. He said, you even know what you're saying. Now, we're going to get to it in the next couple of chapters, because beginning here for the next couple of chapters through chapter 14, he's going to deal a lot with spiritual gifts, and he's going to deal a lot with those things. But I'm just here to say that we ought to speak with understanding.
Amen.
People ought to know what we're saying. And what we're saying ought to glorify Christ.
Amen.
And so he says, listen, nobody that's speaking by the Spirit of God is going to call Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Now, one of the problems that was coming into the church at Corinth is what we, what scholars call Gnosticism. Now, Gnostics assert that matter itself, the physical realm, is inherently evil, and only spiritual things are good. So, as a result of their worldview, Gnostics believe that anything done in the body, no matter how wicked it is, it doesn't really matter, because the real life, the true life, is in the spiritual realm. So a false teaching that was just beginning to take root in Corinth was the idea that everything physical is bad, it's dead, it doesn't even matter, and only the real things that matter are the spiritual things. Everybody with me right now? And so what they decided is, it really doesn't matter what you do in the flesh, you can do whatever you want to, because it really doesn't matter, because it's not spiritual. So they got this idea and started teaching the idea that you can do anything you want to in your flesh. God doesn't really care, because that's not the spirit. What do you guys think? You think God cares what you do in your flesh?
Amen.
You suppose God cares what you do with your body?
Amen.
I'm pretty sure he does, because the Word of God says to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Amen.
Because he purchased all of you, not just part of you. The Gnostics not only taught that real life was only in the spiritual and you could do whatever you want to in the flesh, they also claim to possess a higher truth that was known only to a certain few on some mystical higher plane of existence. This is a mark of cults. It's a mark of false teachers that they've attained some higher knowledge that nobody else can have. I need you to pay attention. If you're not careful, if we are not careful, even in this local church, we can have that attitude.
Amen.
Everyone who's born again has the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Everyone who's born again is indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
We all have the same Spirit in us. And Jesus said when he sends the Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. He will teach you the things concerning himself, right?
Amen.
Stay with me. If you're born again, the Spirit of God is in you. And if you have the Spirit of God in you and you have the Holy Scriptures, then you can know truth.
Amen.
And you can recognize lies. And it's not that some people have reached some higher level of knowledge and they have some different level of knowledge that you have to attain to. We have the same Spirit and we have the same truth. And you don't get to different levels of truth. Yes, you grow in spiritual maturity, but you do that by the Spirit and by the Scriptures.
Amen.
Not by being part of some elite club that only certain people can attain to. That's cultish.
Amen.
That's what that is. That's what the cults teach. And they don't tell you all their truth, all their different levels of learning until you get in. Because you guys understand that, right? There are cults in the world today, and they don't tell you all of their crazy lies and nonsense until you get really entrenched in it. Because if they told you what they really believe when you first walk in the door, you'd never stay.
Amen.
And I'm trying to tell you today that the Lord's church isn't like that.
Right.
We just give the truth, the whole counsel, because the Spirit of God's in you and he'll guide you. Those who truly know Christ know him by his Spirit. He indwells and instructs every believer. And what he teaches is that Jesus is Lord. Acts 2:36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Preaching in the power of the Spirit at Pentecost, Peter says, the one you crucified, that's the one who is Lord and Christ. Romans 10:9-10, you guys are familiar. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And the preaching of the gospel and the Spirit of God working in your heart is going to bring you to this conclusion. You're a sinner and you need a Savior, and Christ died for you and rose again. You'll confess that Jesus is Lord. Philippians 2, verses 9, 10, and 11. Philippians 2, verses 9, 10, 11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Is Jesus Lord? Is he Lord of all? Is he Lord of your life? He is. He is. And the only reason you know that is because the Spirit of God has shown you that truth. And aren't you glad you know? I believe that the moment you're born again, Jesus becomes Lord of your life. You belong to him completely. You think that happens the moment you're saved? Unfortunately, I think for most of us, we don't understand that, because a lot of times obedience comes before understanding. I don't think I fully understand the gospel today, much less when I was first saved. I'm still learning. I'm still growing, right? And for me, there was a difference between the time I was saved and the time I came to an understanding that Christ was Lord. That happened in my life, and maybe it happened in your life. But what we need to understand that he is Lord. We'll say sometimes you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Well, you can't make him the Lord of your life. He is the Lord of your life. Amen. What you need to do is submit to that truth, that reality, and live under that truth and that reality. And there may be some of you today who believe in Jesus, you've trusted in Jesus, but you're not living in submission to Christ as Lord. And I want you to understand today, he is Lord. He is Lord of your life. He's the one who created all things. He's the one who made a way for you to have life when you deserve death. And he deserves your full submission today. Amen. And if you haven't done that, you ought to right now. You ought to right now. Amen. I've counseled with a few young men just recently who are struggling. They're under conviction. They know they're saved. They've been baptized. They're just trying to figure out what God wants them to do. And my answer to every one of those young men has been this: surrender. Amen. Well, I don't know what he wants me to do. Well, that's right. That's why it's called surrender. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work like God's going to say, okay, he's calling you, and you're like, okay, tell me what you want me to do, and I'll decide whether I want to do it or not. It doesn't work that way, friends. And God wants all of us to be fully surrendered. Men, women, boys, and girls, all of us are to be used of God in the church, and we can't do that if we're holding back. We've got to surrender. How much should we surrender? I surrender all. So the Spirit teaches us who Jesus is. We want to understand spiritual things. Now, if you look back at verse 1 real quick, you'll notice that he introduces this new section with concerning spiritual gifts. But in your King James Bible, the word gifts is italicized. It's supplied by the translators, because that's the context, that's the understanding. But he really just says concerning the spiritual, or we might say spiritual things. He wants us to understand things concerning the Spirit. And the first thing he wants us to understand is it's the Spirit of God who teaches us who Jesus is. The next thing he wants us to understand about spiritual things is specifically spiritual gifts. Look at verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. There are diversities in spiritual gifts. There are differences. This word, diversities or differences, is the same word in verse 4, 5, and 6. Diversity, differences, same word. And it's the only place it's used in the New Testament. The idea is that God has given a various amount of different styles or different ways of gifting people in the church. And those gifts are from the Spirit of God. And what we need to understand today is that there is a difference between natural ability and spiritual ability. And don't get mixed up when I say this, but it's actually supernatural. What does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean that you can fly. One day you can fly away, but it doesn't mean that you get x-ray vision or you can shoot laser beams out of your eyes. What it means is it's ability that's beyond or above the natural. Okay? Everybody has natural abilities, but when you're born again, what he's telling us is the Spirit enables you, gives you above the natural. Okay? He gives you above the natural. These gifts are given by God. They're sovereign. God decides what gifts every believer gets. And we all get different gifts. They're diverse. They're different. They're not the same. They're sovereign. They're supernatural. And they are the Spirit's enabling of the members of the body for the edifying of itself in love. God has given us gifts, and those gifts are by the Spirit of God, and they're for a purpose. And that purpose is to build up his church for his glory. So there are different gifts, but they all come from the same Spirit. There are different administrations. This word administrations is the word we get deacon from. This word administration is, in other words, he's saying there's different ministries, there are different services. So we have different gifts, and we have different ministries, but it's the same God. And then we have different operations. This is the word from energy or working or strength or power. So we have different gifts. We have different ministries. We have different power, different working that we do, but it's the same Lord, the same God. So same Spirit, same Lord, same God, but different gifts, different ministries, and different work or energy to do the work. All right? Everybody with me? I as long as I've been pastoring and trying to preach the gospel, every time I try to preach or teach about spiritual gifts, there is invariably people in the room who are reading it, who are hearing this truth, and saying in themselves and have this attitude that says, I don't have any spiritual gifts. Spirit hasn't gifted me. So for those of you who have that thought or that attitude today, please hear the word of God. He has gifted every believer. And if you're still struggling with that, if you are a believer, that includes you. I know some of you are like, dude, you're wearing me out, but I'm just telling you, every time we study this, every time I preach it, there's somebody saying, well, that's good for them. I'm glad they've got spiritual gifts. I just don't have any. But if you're saying that right now, you're calling God a liar.
Amen.
So, if you could just say this in your heart right now, if you're born again, you just say, I am born again, and the Spirit of God has given me spiritual gifts. You can understand that your gifts are different than other people's gifts. I am born again. I have spiritual gifts. My gifts are different than other people's gifts. My ministry is different than other people's ministries. My power, my strength, my working is different. My operation, what I do, is different than other people's work. But we all are gifted. And we're all gifted for the same purpose. That's for his glory and to build up his church. Isn't that exciting?
Amen.
Isn't it good to know that God has equipped us to do the work he's called us to do?
Amen.
There's diversities. There's differences. And they're sovereignly given by God. They're supernaturally given by God. These are not natural abilities. And they are enabled by the Spirit of God for the purpose of glorifying Christ and building up his church. Now, look at verse 7. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. This is what we're saying. It's for a purpose. The manifestation or the appearing, made apparent, the Spirit of God is made apparent to every man to profit everyone. Or in other words, he has made his spiritual power known for the common good. It's not for you and you alone. It's for everyone collectively. It's for the good of all. Verse 8, for to one is given the Spirit by the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Here he lists some of the gifts that the church in that day was given. Now we're going to dig into this deeper in later messages, but let me say this from the outset. There were miraculous sign gifts in the early church that I am persuaded no longer exist in churches today. There are ministry service gifts that are continual in the church today. So there were some miraculous sign gifts that God gave in the early church for those in the church to prove that their message was from God. But when the scriptures were completed, those things were done away and the service gifts continued on. Now, we'll study that more in depth. You got questions, we can dig into that. But just from the outset, some of the things he mentions here may not be in practice today. The word of wisdom is the ability, the word indicates this is a speaking gift. It was the ability to make spiritual application to God's truth. Wisdom is knowledge applied. The word of knowledge is the idea of being able to speak with understanding the word of God. Remember, they didn't have the whole scripture. They needed the Spirit of God to give them a greater understanding, a greater ability, because it wasn't written down. All of it wasn't written down yet. The gift of faith is beyond the gift of faith to believe the gospel to be saved, but the gift to have a supernatural ability to trust God in a greater way. The gifts of healing, this was used only 3 times and only in 1 Corinthians 12 is the only time you're going to find this idea of healing. But this was the miraculous ability of someone to lay hands on somebody and heal them through a human touch. By the way, there are people who claim that ability today. I wish they would come here and demonstrate that ability. I wish they would go to the children's hospital and demonstrate that ability. Like some of you in the room right now, like somebody could come in and just put a hand on me and heal me, take away my pain. Let's do that. There have been a lot of people to claim that. And a lot of them, if not all of them, have been shown to be frauds. And it's heartbreaking. Because they pretend to have this ability, and then when they can't heal you, they blame you. Say, you don't have enough faith. And they have caused great damage to the faith. Working of miracles. This is the word dunamis. It's power, dynamic power, the ability to do miraculous things. Prophecy, this has the idea, this is prophetia, not prophetes. Prophetes can sometimes mean foretelling the truth, that's like preaching. So it could be a foretelling or a preaching, a proclaiming of God's revelation. But this word that's used here is prophetia, and it indicates a prediction. So this is the miraculous ability to predict the future. Discerning of spirits was the ability, miraculous ability to know intuitively whether a spirit was from God or a deceiver. Diverse kinds of tongues is the ability to speak languages that you've never known. Interpretation is only used 2 times. It's here in this verse and 1 Corinthians 14:26 that we'll get to. That's the ability to interpret a language that you don't know. Okay? So some of these are miraculous abilities, and some of them are things that continue, I believe. I believe that God still give some people a extra gift in wisdom and in knowledge. I believe that God gives some people an extra ability in faith today. I know that God still heals. Amen. He just doesn't do it through human touch. Amen. I know that God still is working in a lot of these ways, but he doesn't work in all of these ways today. So what do we do? I believe that God gives every believer wisdom. He gives every believer knowledge through the Word of God.
Amen.
He's given us all a measure of faith.
Amen.
But some people are gifted with more. So what does it mean? It means we all have been gifted to some degree by the Spirit of God. The fruits of the Spirit are there and available to all of us. But what we ought to do is try to figure out how God has gifted us. We ought to strive to discover how God has gifted us. And then we ought to work to die to ourselves, be filled with the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, so that we can deploy our spiritual gifts for the good of others and the building up of the church. But here's our problem. We all default in our nature to wanting what other people have. Rather than figuring out how God has gifted us and using our gifts the best we can for His glory by His Spirit, we always tend to be looking at other people's gifts and wishing we had those. Is that true? I mean, we do it in the physical world, don't we? I go to camp with these kids and try to get out there and play basketball with them, and I start wishing that I had some abilities that I don't have. Because no 44-year-old man wants to get embarrassed by a 13-year-old boy on the basketball court. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I don't want it to happen. But God did not gift me to be a basketball player. I have no talent in that arena at all. I was waiting for one of the boys to say amen, so I could tell him, shut up. We all have different gifts. We all have different abilities. God's going to work in us in different ways. But we all have been gifted by the Spirit of God for the glory of God, for the growing of the church of God. Notice this. Verse 8. All of these gifts that are given, all of these gifts that are given, 8, 9, 10, and then look down at verse 11. All of these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. It's one Spirit working in us all. So no matter how diverse our gifts, no matter how diverse our ministries, no matter how diverse our working is, it's all the same Spirit working in every one of us. So, as we come to a close tonight, this morning, I'm going to ask our musicians to come. And Brother Dean's going to lead us in a song this morning. And this time at the end today is going to be just a little bit different. Whatever song Brother Dean announces in a second, we're going to sing the whole thing. It's going to be a time of worship, a time for us to focus on the things we've heard from the Word of God. Now, if you need to come and pray, it's a time of invitation too. But we're just going to sing this song to end our service today in worship of God, okay? We're going to praise the Lord. We're going to sing this song. So if He's convicting your heart, you need to come, you need to respond, you do that. But whatever, you sing from your hearts to the Lord. Now, number two, none of this matters if you don't have the Spirit inside of you. And if you've never been born again, then you are dead in your trespasses and sins. You don't have life because you don't have the Spirit. And the Word of God is clear. Those who have the Spirit have life. And if you don't have the Spirit, you are none of His. So what do you need to do? You need to repent. You need to turn away from your sin and your unbelief. And you need to make a decision in your mind today. I want to follow the Lord. And you need to trust with all your heart in Jesus, who died for you and rose again. And He'll give you life. His Spirit will live inside of you. And then all of these things matter. But they don't matter until then. You must be born again. And if you are born again, brothers and sisters, let's seek God's face. Maybe today you're like, I have no idea what my gifts are. I have no idea how I'm supposed to be serving the Lord. Today, maybe you just need to pray and say, God, please show me. Show me how You've gifted me. Help me to use those gifts for Your glory. Whatever it is, let's stand together if you're able, and let's sing.
Page 564.
Number 564. In your hymnal, number 564, let's sing from our hearts to the Lord.